This is KUT,
Austin.
Stop. I used to get mad at my school. Teachers had taught me when cool. Holding me down, turning me around, filling me up with your room. I have to admit, it's getting better. A little better all the time. Hello, and welcome to Higher Ed, KUT's podcast focusing on issues of higher education, lifelong learning, and exercising the brain. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT 90.5, Austin's NPR station, talking as always with Dr. Ed Berger, president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. Hello, Ed.
Hello, Jennifer, and it's so good to be back live.
We are back in the swing of things for another season of Higher Ed.
They re-signed us.
Our agents negotiated well. We have new contracts,
yes. And
it's looking pretty good. How was your summer?
It was great. Got a lot of work done. I started writing and then finished my latest book, and so that's exciting. And it's all about stuff that we talk about. In fact, I actually mention our podcast in the book.
Oh, this is exciting. I can't wait to read about it.
A little shout out to us.
I hope it's all
positive.
Good.
It's positive, of course.
Well, I spent some of the summer reading, receiving, and responding to some emails that we've gotten about the podcast.
We call that fan mail.
Fan mail. Thank you. I thought it might be good to spend part
I hope
of
it was
the...
fan mail, or was it?
I think it's mostly fan mail. So I thought it might be nice to read some of the input that we've gotten and just kind of get your response to what some of our listeners have said. So first one I want to look at is an email from Michael referring to an episode from earlier in the year in the previous season where we talked about how outside circumstances can impact learning.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked specifically in part of the episode about how poverty and lack of access to resources can impact learning. And so Michael wrote in and thanked us for the episode and the topic and wanted to bring the discussion to a little more specific level than a little more general and philosophical level. And he said he was referring to, you know, students who have to balance class schedules with working to make ends meet, or also looking at the problem of food insecurity on college campuses. Michael himself said that he attended the University of Central Oklahoma after transferring from Oklahoma City Community College. He said that if I had to name a single program that my university offered that kept me in school, he said it was the on-campus food pantry. Yeah, Michael said that he ate out of the central pantry for over a year while working part-time on campus, and he said he knows campus jobs don't pay much, but they tend to be flexible with student schedules, so after rent and utilities, food was often a third priority, but he said because of the food pantry, he didn't have to choose between, you know, food, rent, utilities, and also didn't have to give up work to, you know, make the schedule things work out. So a great point from Michael about the specificity of what life can be like for students who are in that situation.
And there's so many students that are in Michael's situation or what Michael experienced. The truth is that, I mean, when I was a kid, and maybe this is true when you were in school, I worked on campus all 4 years. I needed to. I was on work study, which really doesn't exist anymore because individuals who need that additional source of income actually now can make far more money by working in a restaurant or working in a coffee shop or something than they can on campus. And that's really a problem for everybody. It's a problem for the schools because it's great to have that young energy on the inside, on the other side of the office, if you will. And it's fantastic, real experience for the students. I learned more in my job. In fact, it made me a mathematician, quite frankly, than almost any other experience I had.
How did it make you a mathematician?
Well, I was an official math tutor. I was working in the dean's office to tutor people. I was a TA and was teaching little, you know, math special sessions. So I got my math voice very early on, and it was very important. But I was making no money. And for individuals that who need to actually generate even greater revenue, they tend to go off campus, which makes it very, very hard. And then there are the students, like Michael was suggesting, where a meal is essential. It's a mixed blessing in the sense that institutions such as Southwestern University tried to provide the resources so that individuals that really can't afford otherwise to have an liberal arts and science experience like Southwestern to have that, but there's a question about, can they sustain, you know, their lives? Can they live? And that's a real problem.
If you have either an episode idea or you just want to respond to what you hear in an episode, be sure to email me. Just send me an email, jstayton, that's J-S-T-A-Y-T-O-N, at KUT.org. So Ed, here's a email with a slightly different tone. This comes from, I may be mispronouncing the name, Eveline, I believe, who writes from Finland. I recently found your podcast and found myself becoming rather addicted to listening to them. So I decided to send you an email. First, I'd like to thank you for making this show. It makes me wish I could hear more about it all. 10 to 15 minutes feels so very brief, usually compared to the potential of the topics and how you manage to fill it with flourishing conversation. I'm left to wish I could listen to you longer and even more in depth. And I'm just hoping that perhaps at some point your podcast would become longer. People want to hear more.
I just think that was so. In fact, when you sent me that one over the summer.
I did.
And I will tell you, I tweeted that out. And I said, this is the first time in history that anyone's ever asked me to speak longer. Yeah. it's wonderful that people are finding our conversation stimulating and thought-provoking in their own lives. But it's interesting to balance that request with the reality that people's attention spans, I think in general, but especially in today's world, a technological world, is ever shrinking. And even I argue, and we talked about this some time back, about what the right length of a class should be. Maybe instead of an hour class, we meet three times in a day for 20 minutes each. And so it's a real problem. I think that our lengths are great because you always want to leaving wanting more. But it is a question.
It is a question, definitely. And Eveline raises a point in the email that we've also talked about, which is the idea of going deep with something.
That's right.
So that the way to really learn is to take something, take a topic, say one that we discuss in an episode, and, to go deep on it, we could probably talk, for an hour and really kind of dig into things.
That's right. But there is an invitation that we put out there explicitly sometimes or otherwise implicitly, which is that deep understanding, the idea that there are these layers of understanding and you can always go deeper, that's an individual thing. So, we listen to Jennifer and we're inspired by her and she only talks for, let's say, 12 minutes. Well, now we can go off and on our own get that deeper understanding and try to acquire a deeper understanding of whatever it is or think more deeply. And I think that that's an invitation that we should extend always.
All right. So I have an invitation for you now.
Yes.
I'm ready for our first new puzzler of the
yes.
season.
Yes. Well, I thought since it's kind of like a back to school special in a way, because, I don't know how our listeners look at the world, but to me, when fall hits, it's the beginning of the year. You
sure.
follow me? And then
yeah.
when May hits, it's the end of the year. So it's a crazy – if you're an academic, you're crazy. Anyway, so this is a kind of back-to-school thing. And so little Jennifer is getting ready for her first day of class.
Okay.
You ready?
I'm ready.
But of course, she's running late.
Never.
I'm not saying it's you. I'm saying little Jennifer. And so she quickly realizes that she hasn't even put on her socks yet. So she needs to get a pair of socks. But her room is completely dark. She can't see, and she's in a rush. So she opens her drawer, and inside her drawer, she knows that there are 10 pairs of gold socks, 10 pairs of black socks, and 11 pairs of blue socks. 10
okay.
pairs of gold socks, 10 pairs of black socks, and 11 pairs of blue socks.
Uh-huh.
But they're all separated and all mixed up.
Okay.
So all
so they're
those,
not like in little sock
They're not in
balls.
Little balls that
okay.
we tend to think of,
Got
us,
it.
Right? So they're all over the place. And the question is, what is the fewest number of socks that she can pull out from that drawer without seeing them to guarantee that she will have a matched pair color of socks to go to the first day of school?
To guarantee. The fewest number that she can pull out to guarantee a matched pair.
Correct.
Okay.
For her first day at KUT school.
Oh. I got to say, my initial thought is that guarantee is throwing me for a bit of a loop. But I'm going to mull it over and I'm eager to hear.
I give you my guarantee that you will enjoy this puzzle.
I already do.
See? That's why we love you.
So it is a back to school puzzler. So, and I'm curious, just as we wrap up this first episode, if you have any words of wisdom, advice, thoughts about students, teachers, families, anybody, whether informal education or not, as the school year, is starting out, what kind of mindset do you like to sort of put yourself in? What do you suggest for others for a new school year?
Well, of course, they're the obvious ones and the perennial ones. Be open-minded, be open to experiment and try new things intellectually, and don't be afraid if they don't quite work out. You know, embrace failure, which we've talked about for thousands of episodes now. But, you know, in today's world, as we look out and try to make meaning, which is what education really is all about, I think that whether it's just where we are as a country, as a world, or what technology is doing to us, taking that time for mindful solitude and taking a breath and being reflective and having empathy for the diversity of perspectives, the diversity of individuals. And empathy, I remind our listeners, is not the same thing as sympathy. You can empathize and not sympathize. And I think we even talked about that. But the idea of being empathetic and listening with an empathetic ear is something that I think in today's world will serve all of us very well. You and I can disagree about issues and yet still have a respectful, meaningful, and educational conversation that will stimulate us both. And in today's world, there's less of that than there should be. And opportunities are lost because I'll just shout you down or you'll yell at me or say awful things. And that's not productive. We should be trying to uplift ourselves, even if we don't always agree with ourselves. And as we start a new year, this is an new school year anyway, it's an opportunity for us to kind of wonder if we can do more of that.
What is the like worst piece of back to school advice that you've ever received, or something like that you would never tell students, teachers, anybody sort of affiliated with the rhythm of a new school year?
What I've received, I mean, who can remember? That was a million years ago. I think it was probably etched in some stone tablet that they gave me to take to school. That was how we would go to school before the composition notebooks. I would say the worst advice, though, overall is, you know, get straight A's and focus on your grades. And I'll tell you one thing, it wasn't advice, but I remember my father, who was an immigrant from Hungary, never went to college, but when he got to this country at the age of 18, somehow heard about Phi Beta Kappa, this historic honor society. And when I started college, he would say to me in a very gentle, loving way, oh, wouldn't it be great if you became a member of Phi Beta Kappa? And so that hung over like a little cloud. So it was never about the grades, although, of course, that's basically the entrance into that organization. Mm-hmm. And so when I was awarded early Phi Beta Kappa, he was so tickled and so proud. But that pressure of grades is real. If you want to go to medical school, if you want to go to law school, if you want to become an engineer, and of course. But that shouldn't prevent you from exploring and making the most of your education, whether it's at the primary level, where, in fact, there's a lot more freedom to explore and to have fun, or at the secondary level, where it gets a little bit more serious, and then, of course, at the post-secondary level, where you feel that everything is on the table. Give yourself the freedom to explore the ideas you want. That's the good advice. And the bad advice would be get straight A's and get into law school.
Well, thank you for all of your good advice.
And bad advice.
For all of your advice.
Thank you.
Dr. Ed Berger is president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. You can find out more at southwestern.edu. And keep your brain busy by keeping up with the news and other episodes of Higher Ed at KUT.org. You can also find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Jennifer Staton, KUT News.